more popular an idea becomes, the more suspect it ought to be to us Christians.
Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, and today I'm going to be talking about some principles of courtship. Now, I did warn you yesterday of what you were going to get this week. Do you remember what I said? Unpopular opinions. Well, let me assure you that I don't espouse these unpopular opinions in order to be unpopular. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. Who wants to be out of step with his times? Nobody really wants to be unpopular. But the sad truth is that a determination to obey God, regardless of the cost, will sooner or later put us out of step with the crowd. The more popular an idea becomes, the more suspect it ought to be to us Christians. We need constantly to be holding what the world is telling us up against the straight edge of Scripture. That's the only way we can see how crooked it is. We march to a different drummer. One of the things that I've been saying to men is, be men. Please be men, which means be responsible. Be the leaders. Take the initiative. Sober up. Put away childish things. Get married in God's time and in God's way. Whew! I know that sort of takes your breath away, and you don't appreciate being admonished by a woman, so I'll leave off that for a while. And to women, I've been saying, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Don't chase men. That's what my mama told me when I was 12 years old. Don't chase men. Keep them at arm's length. Well, I have a letter here from a listener who says it far more effectively than all my ranting and raving would ever do. Would you like to hear this letter? She says, I thought you would appreciate hearing from someone who God has led through the desert and to the other side, as I call it. And she tells me that her story appears on page so-and-so of one of my books. I don't think I better tell you which book that is and which page. Of course, her name is not in the book, and I'm not going to give you her name here. She says, it has been almost 5 years since I wrote that letter to you, and it gives me great joy to tell you that on June 1st, I will be married to God's chosen one for me, the one I have waited on him for. And him is capitalized. In other words, she waited on the Lord for this man, not very patiently sometimes, and prayed for so long. The awesomeness of God's ability to provide a husband like Bill for me is overwhelming at times. Gratitude has taken on a whole new meaning, and I have never known such earthly love and mutuality. 5 years ago, a large part of me was very close to despair, as I really believed my only chance to be married to a Christian man I truly cared about was gone. I grieved simultaneously over the loss of him and the dream, marriage and children. God, since that time, has healed and restored my joy in him, my first love. He made me whole by bringing me face to face with roots of bitterness and resentment so I could sacrifice them to him. Sound familiar? He provided your teaching about that at just the right time. He also showed me my great need for love and security that only he, not a husband, could offer. I had read of the simplicities and genuine spirituality that attracted you to Jim Elliot, and how he was a man like you'd hope to marry. I also had heard you describe your courtship with your present husband, and the gentlemanly, truly masculine characteristics he displayed. I absorbed it all. But in my heart there was a struggle, because I really had little faith that there was a man like that left for me. I had to pray, Lord, help my unbelief. I thought my chance was gone. So, with nothing but sheer blind faith, I continued sharing my hopes and dreams about a husband with God. The years moved on. I came closer and closer to 30, and praying with faith became harder and harder. The longing I had for a godly man to love and give to and share with was indescribably intense. But in God's perfect time, His sovereign will began to take shape before my eyes. This gentle, kind, caring man, who I had noticed at church, began to show me favor, and then initiated a one-on-one relationship with me. Bill overwhelmed me by being such a godly man in the initiation of our courtship. Without reservation, he made his intentions known from the first, and I want to repeat that sentence for every young unmarried man that's listening to me. Without reservation, he made his intentions known from the first. Now, see, there's a man who had observed a woman from a distance, saw and learned everything that he needed to know about whether she was godly and feminine and the kind of thing he was looking for in a wife, and he did not mess around and start all this stuff about, well, let's date for a while, and then let's be friends for a while, and then let's be prayer partners, and then let's have a, quote, relationship. All these preliminaries, they don't get anywhere, and usually they end up nowhere. So he made his intentions known from the first. He courted me by being assertive and yet completely a gentleman. He told me he had prayed about approaching me, and there's the other key, prayed about it, that he had submitted us to God despite his own desires, and that he wanted to commit to a wife and children. He consistently demonstrated 1 Corinthians 13 to me. You know that that's the great love chapter, describing what godly love is about. Nothing like sentiment, nothing to do with feelings. He demonstrated 1 Corinthians 13 to me in the smallest and greatest ways. He gave love with no thought of reward or recognition. For many months, though I enjoyed his attention, I was skeptical. I prayed, God, if he is who he seems to be, then I'm sold. After much prayer and depending on God, with great peace, we became engaged. I cannot begin to describe all the ways Bill is God's provision for me. I am a person who flourishes with encouragement and takes criticism very much to heart. Bill is such an affirmer. He tells me he appreciates me and the things I do for him and others. He truly builds me up. I feel so secure in his love and the priority I have in his life. He is romantic and esteems my femininity. Girls, there's a clue for you. Be feminine. Don't be afraid to be feminine. That's what men are really looking for. And please don't accuse them of being male chauvinist pigs if they look for femininity. He is a true giver, she says, and does it subtly for another's edification, not for pats on the back. It's easy to love, respect, and admire a man who is God's, who lays his life down like Jesus, without a word. God knew all along that I would need a man like that after being hurt and rejected and so totally ignored by others. Bill is not perfect, but I am convinced he is God's choice, God's best for me. How can you adequately thank God for this kind of gift? It has brought me so much joy to witness to others, and while sharing about him, several of my youth group girls in college have written to ask me how I knew he was the right one. I tell them about my Heavenly Father, his promises of guidance, his love, his sovereign wisdom. I also give them pages 47 and 48 from your book, Passion and Purity. So for my radio listeners now, that's all the letter I'm going to read, but I will read to you what my friend gives to her college girls, pages 47 and 48 from my book. It would be foolish to deny that there are some pleasures along the world's road. There's plenty of what people call fun. There are thrills, gratifications, experiences. But the Bible says a road may seem straightforward to a man, yet may end as the way to death. Even in laughter, the heart may grieve, and mirth may end in sorrow. there is another way. To love what God commands and desire what He promises. It can't be found except through prayer and obedience. It cuts quite across the other way, takes us where things are not at the mercy of changing fashions and opinions. It's a place where a man's heart may safely rest, and a woman's heart too. And then I give these scriptures from my journals from 1948 or 49 when I was first in love with Jim Elliot. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him, for you are his charge. Philippians 4:6, have no anxiety, but in everything make your requests known to God. Matthew 6:25, I bid you put away anxious thoughts. And then I have the Greek words for anxious thoughts. Care, thought, disquietude, trouble. Merimnao, be anxious, be cumbered, think earnestly upon. The journal does not say what was troubling me the day I copied the above verses and looked up the operative Greek words. It's manifest that the anxiety that shadowed too many of my days was that I would miss the path of righteousness. Better that anxiety, perhaps, than a cavalier carelessness. But the years since have proved to me over and over again that the heart set to do the Father's will never need fear defeat. His promises of guidance may be fully counted upon. Does it make sense to believe that the shepherd would care less about getting his sheep where he wants them to go than they care about getting there? And then the chapter ends with these quotations from the Psalms. I will teach you and guide you in the way you should go. I will keep you under my eye. Do not behave like horse or mule, unreasoning creatures whose course must be checked with bit and bridle. But unfailing love enfolds him who trusts in the Lord.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.